Welcome to part one of Unity 5 Jumpstart. In this part, we'll add a couple of players to our scene, and we'll make sure that each player has the ability to be controlled by a specific game controller. We'll also add some UI text on the screen to display our scores. As always, you can go to my website, wakeupandcode.com, to check out the Unity tutorials, videos, and presentation slides. So going step by step, we'll be adding a new scene for our game. We'll add a couple of players, we'll add player controls, and then we'll add UI text to the elements for our scores, and then we'll be ready to play the game. So I won't really do much at this point because we're going to continue adding to this game in future videos. But just to give you a recap of what you're up against, you can right click on your scenes in your project panel, go to create, and go to scene to create a new scene. In the kickoff video, you've seen an existing scene where I added a bunch of players and we're playing through it. To make sure that you're able to add your own scene from scratch, we'll start with a new scene. And then we'll add a couple of players, and we'll show you how to do that. I will use existing assets. You can make them yourself or download them from different asset packs that are either available for free or for purchase on the internet. We'll add some player controls by adding a player controller script that we already have in place for you. And then we'll add UI text on the screen, which we'll also add in Canvas, a canvas and an event system. Finally, we'll play the game. If you'd like to start somewhere and you have some existing code, definitely go to GitHub, where I have the source code to this uploaded there. It's under my username, Shahid C. And the game project is called UFO Game Enhanced. So you can go ahead and download the existing project and take a look at the different commits that I've made over time. As we've made changes to the GitHub project, but in this specific instance, we're going to start to create this game from scratch. All right. So let's go back to Unity. So here in Unity, I have one scene open. You may recognize this from the scene that we had in our kickoff tutorial. So this has a couple of spaceships that look exactly the same, and we'd like to create a new scene. So let's go ahead and right click on our scenes folder. We can click create and scene, and let's call it game. So what I've done is in the scenes folder, I've created a new scene called game. If I open up that scene by double clicking on it, I can zoom in on it. And I'll see that it's an empty scene. I'd like to add some sprites to my sprites folder so I can add new spaceships into the game. If I look at my sprites folder, I'll notice that I have my original spaceship, but I don't have the two new spaceships I'd like to add, the ones that are slightly different. There are a lot of places you can get sprite graphics. You can make them yourself. You can purchase them. You can download them for free if available. I'll open up my web browser, show you a couple of different choices. Here I'm on Sira.com. Which is the maker of Construct 2, a popular 2D game making tool. And if I were to go all the way to the bottom on Sira.com, there is a little download link for the version of Construct 2 you can download, but below that, there's a game assets link. So you can download a free bundle of game graphics that you can use anywhere. It doesn't have to be a Construct 2 game. In fact, we'll be using it for a Unity game today. And of course, you can go to Unity3D.com, specifically, assetstore.unity3d.com. Here you can search for different graphics. I've searched for 2D spaceship sprites. So here you see a bunch of different packs that you can download or purchase. So let's go back to Unity, and we're going to use a couple of graphics that I downloaded from Sira's website. So I could right-click and start importing new assets here, or I could just drag them directly on here. So what I'll do is I will go ahead and open Windows Explorer, and I have a completed version of this project and different versions of it that I'm progressing. So what I'll do is I'll upload each of these zip files that encompasses different parts of the game that I'm building up so you can download them. But for now, in part one, you'll notice that I have some assets that are built if I go to sprites, and I have a couple of different sprites in here, including the blue and the red. So if I drag these directly onto my sprites folder, you'll notice that I now have this player blue ship, red and blue. So I just want to make them player one and player two. So let's go ahead and drag them into our game. They're really tiny right now, so I can click both of them together by clicking Control and then selecting with the mouse, and then change the scale to 2, 2, 2. So what I've done is essentially I've changed the scale to 2, making them twice as big. So if you go back into the game, then now you can actually see them. What I'd also like to do is rename them. So player blue ship 1, let's make that player 1. And then the red one, if I click on that in my hierarchy, I can rename that to player 2. So if I zoom in on it, you'll see that I have player 1 and player 2 in my hierarchy. That's where I rename them. Now that they've been dragged into the scene and renamed, I need to attach a player controller script. Of course, I could write a script from scratch, but because we have one from the kickoff tutorial, we're just going to attach an existing script. So now I can go to player 1 and say add component and go to scripts. And here I have a player controller script I'd like to add. So again, that was add component scripts. And you can see if I zoom in here, player controller script is right there. Well, for the second player, which is the red player, maybe I'd like to add it in a different way. Well, I could go to the scripts folder in my assets folder right there, and I can drag that player controller script directly to my player 2. So again, there's a couple of different ways you can add a player script. So now that they've been added, we have a couple of public variables here we need to set. You see there's a player number and a speed and some joystick sensitivity. Let's go ahead and update a couple of these things here. So I'm going to go ahead and click on player 1 in the hierarchy and change my player number to 1. And I'd like to change the speed as well. So let's say we make the speed 50. And let's do the same thing for player 2. I'm going to click on player 2 in the hierarchy. And again, for player number, I'll change it to player 2 and change the speed to 50. So again, player 2 says player 2 and speed is 50. Make sure I got that right. So you'll notice that there are a couple of empty game objects here, or rather game objects that say none for laser and nozzle. We need to add a nozzle. It's an invisible game object where the laser is going to come out, and we can assign the laser to a laser graphic we're going to add as well. So let's do that next. I'm going to create an empty game object for both the nozzles. So if I right click on player and click create empty, and let's call it nozzle 1. And then right click on player 2, click on create empty, rename it to nozzle 2. Now you could right click and then choose rename to rename something, but I'm clicking F2 on my keyboard to get there faster. You'll see both player 1 and player 2 have a hierarchical structure where they have nozzle 1, nozzle 2 beneath them. Let's actually make them visible so we can see where they are. If I click on nozzle 1, and I click on this little icon on the top of the inspector menu, I can change that to blue. So what that does is makes a visible icon that you can drag up and down along with the spaceship. So I want to put it maybe closer to its nose there. So let's do the same thing for both of them. So for nozzle 1, I'm going to click on the move icon on the top left there. And then I can drag this green arrow and move it up a little. For nozzle 2, I will color it. So again, in the inspector menu, you click on the 3D cube icon, and you can change that color to maybe a reddish icon, and then drag the yellow icon, or yellow arrow, a little higher. So it's a little higher. So now we have these two nozzles placed correctly and renamed. We need to attach a rigid body 2D to both of the players and make sure that they don't have any gravity so they don't fall. So click on player 1. And maybe add a rigid body to it. Oh, but first, let's actually add this nozzle object to it. So I can take the nozzle 1 and add it to this game object. And then for player 2, nozzle 2, add that to the game object. And you see the laser still empty there. So in order to add the laser, let's go ahead and go to the prefabs folder. And we'll see we only have a blue laser here because that's the one that I had for the kickoff video. So I need to add an additional laser. So let's go ahead and find my collection of sprites because I need to add this to my current project sprites folder. So I'll drag it to the sprites folder. Again, you can get these graphics for anywhere you want. And now I have a laser object right there. I could drag the laser object directly onto my game And one thing I'll notice is that once it's in the game, it's really small. So let's make it a little bigger. So in the scale, I can make it maybe 4, 2, 1. So make it a little wider. And then I can just drag the version of the laser in the hierarchy into my prefabs folder. So once I've done that, I can go to the prefabs folder and I see I have two lasers. Let's actually rename one of them. The blue laser is blue laser, but red laser currently says laser red 02. So I'll do two things here. In my hierarchy, I can delete the laser because now that I've created a prefab. So once you have created a prefab for something, you don't need to have it hanging around the hierarchy if it doesn't belong there. You can always recreate it or re-instantiate that object by spawning it in your code. So the laser that's in the hierarchy, I'm going to go ahead and rename them. I clicked F2 on my keyboard. Let's call it red laser. So now I have two lasers that I'm going to enable in the game. So if you recall, in the hierarchy, player 1 and player 2 have a laser object that says none right now, because that's because it's a public object in my code. So I'm going to go ahead and add the red laser to, I guess I should do that for player 2. So let's click player 2 instead and drag the red laser to that player. And then when I click on player 1, I can drag the prefab of the blue laser to that item. So now you'll notice it no longer says none. So now what we've done is we've added a new scene. We've renamed it to game, added a couple of sprites to our folder, dragged them into the scene, and renamed them to player 1 and player 2. We've attached player controller scripts for both of them and updated the player number and speed values. We've also created empty game objects for the nozzles and renamed them. And we've added, we also need to actually add some rigid bodies here. So let's say when I click on player 1 and player 2, I notice that they don't have rigid bodies. So let's go ahead and add that now. So player 1, I can click on add component at the bottom, click on physics 2D, that's really important because it's not a 3D game, it's 2D, and I can add rigid body 2D, and let us change the gravity scale to 0. This is very important so the players don't just fall down. Let's click on player 2, click on add component, physics 2D, rigid body 2D, and once again, let's change that gravity scale to 0. All right? So finally, we need to make sure that the players can shoot these lasers, okay? So we've added the players or the lasers to the game already, and we need to attach a player shoot script to the lasers. So if I click on red laser, right now it just has a sprite renderer component on it. If I click on add component and go to script and do player shoot, it says right now that the speed is 0, so I could change that speed to 100. And then let's go to the blue laser. And then here I notice that the player shoot script has already been added because it was there before. And you'll notice it already has a circle collider that I've added before with trigger enabled. So I'm going to go back to the red laser, which was recently added, and go ahead and add a collider to it. I can go to physics 2D, go to circle collider 2D, and make sure the trigger is checked. And this will allow me to then use my code to enable the trigger. It's also useful at this point to set the sorting layer. So here the sprite renderer says sorting layer and it's set to default right now. In this case, it's laser. I can just change that to ammo. Same thing for blue laser. Again, this one is already set to ammo because it was there from before in the kickoff video. We do need to edit the player controller to use the A button. So let's set that up, and we need to make sure that we have the two shoot buttons in our input manager. So if I go to edit, project settings, and input manager, here I'll notice that I have this horizontal and vertical motions, but I need to be able to edit my code to use the A button to shoot, and also make sure that I have the correct input manager items. If I expand the existing fire 1 in the input manager, let's change fire 1 to shoot 1. Just so we know this is the one we're going to work with. You can call it whatever you want as long as you can refer to it in the code. Under positive button, it says left control. I will change that to joystick 1 button 0. This means the first player's joystick and button 0 refers to the A button. I don't need the mouse button here. I can just remove that for now. And then for gravity, I can change that to 0. And then where it says dead, let's change that to 0 as well. So that's a dead zone on your controller. And the sensitivity we can leave as is. But the most important thing here is the axis. I'm going to change that to the third axis. And the joystick number in this case, change it to joystick 1. So let's zoom in on that and recap. We have shoot 1 item. You could have added a new one, or in this case, I just renamed the fire 1. Positive button is joystick 1, button 0. I changed the gravity and dead zone to 0, 0. The type, I left it as is for key or mouse button, but the axis, I changed to third axis, and then the joystick number, I made it 1. Let's do something similar to fire 2. I will rename it to shoot 2 without any spaces. And then the positive button, I will rename it to joystick 2, button 0. Again, very important. And then mouse 1, I can delete that. I don't need that. Gravity, I'll change it to 0. Dead zone, 0. And sensitivity, I'll leave it at 1,000. And for the type, I've left it as is once more. Axis, I will change it to third axis for joysticks. But joystick number, I'll change it to joystick 2. So again, to recap, those are the settings we have. It's very similar, shoot 1 and shoot 2. But the main difference is that one is joystick 1, one is for joystick 2. Next, let's go ahead and look at some code. If I go to my scripts, and I want to go to my player shoot script, in Visual Studio, I have the player shoot script open. So here I have a bunch of public variables. So let's go ahead and add a public for my player number, because I would like to know which player it is that's shooting. And then the score text, it wants to find a specific score text for a specific player. So let's add player number to that as well. So what this will allow me to do is it finds a game object that's called score text 1 or 2. So we're going to have to add those in a bit. And finally, in this debug code down here, let's go ahead and add, scroll down or up. Here it is. I was looking for this line here. This debug code right here, it says new score and it just has score. So let's go ahead and change that to player. So I would like to see the score for a specific player. So let's say player plus player number plus score is whatever the score will be. So in this case, player 1 might have a certain score, player 2 might have a certain score, and that's what we'd like to display on the screen. Now let's go ahead and actually add the UI text so we can assign it. So what I'll do is if I go to my Unity UI, I need to add a couple of UI text elements. So the first time you add a UI text, it should add the proper canvas. So I can go to Game Object, UI, and Text. So what it does is it automatically creates a canvas and adds one text event for me. I can change that name if I want. And I can also recreate it for each player text. So again, there's a bunch of different score texts that I want. If you remember in the code, it says that it's going to find score text 1 or 2. So let's go ahead and rename this to score text 1. And then we want to duplicate that so we can call it score text 2. You'll notice that I just right-clicked on score text 1 to duplicate it. If I wanted to, I could just go to game object one more time, go to UI, and add another text element. Once you have a canvas and an event system, it'll just reuse the existing ones and keep adding new text elements as you add them. So where are these on my screen? If I click on it and mouse over my scene, I click the F key on my keyboard, you'll notice that it's in a really weird place. So what happens when you run the game, it's going to go ahead and appear on the screen itself. So I can go ahead and score text 1, click on the rec transform, and I can place it in this specific area. So again, this is up to you where you want to place it, how you want to color it. So I'll leave that up to you. But what you can do is let's go back to player 1 and focus in on that. I'm going to zoom out just a little. What we need to do here is change the player 1 and player 2 names. So score text 1, we'll just make that 0. And score text 2, we'll make that 0 as well. And then for score text 1, we need to add a script, and also actually for player 1 and 2, we have a shoot script on each of the prefabs, right? So let's go to project, go to prefab, and if you go to blue laser and red laser, you'll notice that the player number shows 0. And this is that player number integer that we just added to our player shoot script. So let's change these to 1 and 2. Let's go to red laser. And we'll do the same thing, change this to player 2. So now what we have is we have the lasers that know what player they're going to be shooting out of. And we have the scoring system that should be automatically updated for this particular player. So back in the code again, there is something else we need to add. So I'm going to open the player controller script. So in the player controller script, I'm going to scroll all the way down to where we have our shooting buttons and triggers. I have a lot of code that I was experimenting with. Again, you'll see some stuff that's commented out. But the stuff that's working here is this trigger motion. In the kickoff video, I'm checking to see if a specific joystick trigger or gamepad trigger is being clicked on. But again, if we're just shooting lasers, may as well use the A button. So we're going to change that right now. So here, I'm going to remove this comment that I have for count text, and I will replace it with a Boolean to check if the fire button was pressed. So I'll type in bool for Boolean, and let's call this Boolean fire pressed to see if the A button was pressed. Type in input.get button down, and I want to check if shoot one or shoot two was pressed. So I can use the player number variable here. So this line of code here shows me that the fire button was pressed if shoot one or shoot two has been pressed. But down here, there's another if check that checks to see if trigger motion is less than a certain integer value. This is something I added because the triggers can be used to detect several levels of pressing the trigger. When a button is pressed, I just need to make sure that it's pressed or not. This makes your code a lot easier. So what I did was I still have this laser ready variable that forces me to let go of the button every time I shoot the laser. So the laser is only ready after I'm done pressing it. But if I want to check if the button has been pressed, I now have a new Boolean to check called fire pressed. So this should be enough to launch this laser and set the laser instance to the nozzle's location. So after it's shot, I can check. I can reset the laser ready to false so that someone just doesn't hold down the A button to shoot an infinite number of lasers. To make sure this is coming out correctly, let's add some debug code in there. So I'm adding debug.log and add shoot player number. So make sure that the player number is shooting correctly. And finally, before we wrap this up, there's a trigger motion here that I'm checking to see whether it's moving or not to reset laser ready back to true. I just need to make sure that I am not pressing the fire button. So before, I was checking to make sure that laser wasn't being pressed or the trigger wasn't being pressed to shoot a laser. But now I'm changing all the trigger motions to the A button being pressed. So again, I'm checking to make sure the fire button or the A button is currently not held down. So with that, let's go back to our game one more time. So back in Unity, I have a couple of game controllers connected. If I go to console, you'll see that it says joystick connected. I'm going to go ahead and click play, and we can see how that looks. So if I move left and right, I can shoot on the one player button. And if I move left and right, also on the second player, I can shoot out of that too. All right, so you see things are slowly like drifting away. We can go ahead and update the game at a later time to make sure that it's held back and it's not just drifting away in all directions. So we hope you enjoyed this tutorial. Let's go ahead and do a code review with Brandon Peck. So Brandon, what do you think of the UFO game so far?
It's really coming together. It looks really great so far, and I look forward to working on it more and starting to, you know, finish it up, get it going.
All right, so now that we've completed some code for part one of this whole tutorial series, let's take a look at the code and see what kind of issues and solutions we've faced. So we're here looking at our project in Unity, and when I have a player selected, I have several different things that are attached to the player. So is there something here that interests you in particular, Brandon?
Yeah, so the rigid body 2D is pretty interesting, and with that, we really are focusing on the gravity. So right now we have the gravity scale at 0, and what's interesting is if, say, we had the gravity at a higher number, what would happen?
Yeah, that is interesting. So here I've actually set it to a value 1. That means now it's equivalent to the world gravity. If I were to play this game right now, let's go over to the game panel, and let's watch it. Now, that spaceship just falls right down, so we definitely don't want that. So, what should we change it back to?
Yeah, let's change it back to zero. So
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So, there's also a setting for the world gravity. Let's take a look at that. It's Edit and Project. And here we'll have one of the settings for your player physics. And under player physics, here's where the world gravity is. So right now, y-axis goes up and down, and you see negative 9.81. And again, that's a standard gravity in meters per second square. So yeah, it's good to know that we can have world gravity set to real world gravity. And also for each individual item, once we add a rigid body, we can change the gravity scale to either be zero, where gravity doesn't apply, or have a multiple factor of gravity.
yeah, that could be useful in a different game.
Yeah, so we can make things heavier and maybe lighter and so on. So is there something else also you wanted to talk about?
Okay, yeah. So another kind of issue we ran into was with the player input, and specifically the when the player pressed A, we'd have bullets fire out of the nozzle uncontrollably. And so if we go ahead and look at what we were doing before, before we only had joystick, and we needed to link up joystick one and a joystick two to the player input in order to differentiate when the two entities were shooting.
Right. And then if I go into Edit, Project Settings, and Input, I'll see here that I have a bunch of different input items I've defined. Now, Unity already gives you horizontal and vertical, and I've added a bunch of other values as well, including triggers and shooting buttons. Now, I have Shoot 1 defined as Shoot 1, and at the very bottom, I have a drop-down that says Joystick Number, and I had set Joystick 1 as a number for Shoot 1, but when I was pressing the button, as you said, pressing the A button on any of the controllers would fire all the joysticks at once. So the solution there, as you mentioned, was right in the middle. The positive button says joystick 1, button 0. And originally I just had joystick button 0. So again, that was a problem. So similar to that, I went to shoot 2 and I changed to joystick 2, button 0. So again, that makes it a lot easier to differentiate between the choose joysticks. I did have to select the drop-down value at the bottom of the list of items here, but I also added the joystick number in the positive button. So let's see what happens if I play the game now. So inside the game, I can move around with my second player and click the A button, and it's shooting only with the right player. So if I go to the left player and start shooting with that, and that works too. But what if I were to stop playing the game and then do what we said earlier, right? We went inside your edit, project settings, and input. And initially, I just had joystick button 0, which is a valid value here. And then do the same thing in shoot 1, joystick button 0. So with one controller, that works great. Or if you want every controller to do the same thing, that works great too. But now, if I were to play the game and I just pick up one controller in my hand and start hitting A on it, so every time I shoot with one controller, it's shooting every one of them. So again, that was a difficult problem to fix because I didn't know the answer to it. But once I asked around in the Unity group on Facebook, one of our friends on Facebook said, "Hey, why don't you try putting that number in there?" So for shoot one, I'll put in joystick one, and shoot two, I'll put in joystick two, and let's make sure we didn't break anything, right?
And it makes a lot of sense this way.
Yep. So I can move around as one guy, everything works. I can move around with the other guy, and that works too. So I think that pretty much wraps up what we wanted to talk about. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think we're all
All
good.
right, cool. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
All right, thanks, Shad.